Now, Old Mole intern Sarah Summerhill reads an excerpt from her piece Boundaries, recently published in Washington State University Vancouver's literary magazine, the Salmon Creek Journal. This essay was inspired by her experience in a Native American literature class last summer, taught by Old Mole Desiree Helligers, which included paddling in a tribal canoe with Chinook chairman Tony Johnson. Boundaries explores how indigenous ways of knowing are vital to mending severed connections between people in a modern, technologically advanced world.
Modern science encourages separation based on complexity. You might have been proud of yourself at one point for memorizing the taxonomic hierarchy, which ostensibly defines our intelligence, superiority, and claim to a life worth living. Humans are different from canines, which are different from equines, which are very different from piscines, which are maybe closer to flora, which are closer to bacteria, which aren't really anything at all until they kill you. Indigenous people have known since time immemorial that divine knowledge comes not from laboratory spaces and white halls. This I learned sitting in front of a 36-foot tribal canoe led by Tony Johnson, chairman of the Chinook Indian Nation, fulfilling my need for a 3-credit diversity course and minded to find pieces of myself in the process. On the blue-green slicing waters of Lake River, my shoulders rose time and time again to meet my ear, the bottom half of the paddle guided by my gentle palm as I submerged it again and again into the cutting waves. The pain of paddling I never understood until that moment. It felt as if something climbed into my skin and knifed a line down my muscle, allowed fire to escape my bone marrow and begin licking me from the inside out. But soon I began to recognize my muscle fibers constricting and separating beneath my skin, flaying outwards and filling the patches with new collagen, and beginning to bend and move parallel with the fierce fire of pain, and I earned the strength for a few more strokes. Behind us, Lake River cut through a dome of all sorts of life. Evergreen trees, cypress trees, wild, light-colored green water grass, silver-shaded smolt fish swarming beneath the surface of the rippling water, flocks of birds flying overhead, and, at one point, even a solitary bald eagle. Before us, Lake River split into the Columbia. The water faded from deep turquoise to shiny gray silver, reflected a light kind of blue from the sky so wide above us. In these moments, I wondered how anyone could think the earth is flat. The sky stretched so wide along the river, you could see it curve along the circular world. I thought of how I've looked within surface tension and seen how small things, the feet of water skippers, bounce inside, bump light, break within. One leg, mere atoms in water that bend in tension. This I saw plunging my body, eyes open, face towards the sky, beneath water, time and time again, as deep as I could possibly push myself. I came to see my thoughts in front of me as electric lines, fibers of being split around water blue from the sky, delighted to see their electric sisters in the white curves of surface light. I've seen how they reach, 5 new pink fingers, and grace the stretch of light to glaze inside the surface of water, not just between the body of liquid and air, but between the boundaries of life and light and the hard, bouncy region of surface tension, home only to the secrets of the universe and the feet of water skipper bugs. I understood that boundary. I understood breaking it with my fingers, first bending, then shattering, my hands still covered with water, but orange and white silver under the striking sun, while the rest of me lay beneath the surface in etched memories. I understood that these atoms, which form my skin, were once the feet of bugs, once settled in the cells between the bark and the trunk of trees, once not the rings of a planet or the celestial body itself, but the space between, minerals suspended in the atmosphere, uninterrupted in their transformation from one state of being to another. I understood the way they bonded to water, the way my skin dissolved away to release my insides to the world, where they could interact directly with light and sound and color. Underwater, I could have died and not felt any sort of human instinctual sadness. I would have understood death not as a beginning, nor an ending, but an in-between, a crossable soft boundary in which a large portion of the universe resides. I understood myself and those around me to live within a world of connections broken by dependence on technological advances. Standing in the midst of a city square, surrounded on all fours by pigeons and squirrels scampering up the sides of city skyscrapers, placeless, leafless trees planted in 4x4 plotches of dirt and bark dust, are men and women wearing ivory and rubber from head to toe, passing by with shards of metal and wire sewn to their hands and knees, moving within broken connections, dragged along by a loss of knowledge, unknowingly pressed to find it again. When I sat in a red cedar seat among the fish and the water bugs, I'd never been so far out on water without being a disruption to the waves' way. A year earlier, I'd sat cushioned at the head of a gas-guzzling motorboat paving its way across Yale Lake, disrupting any wildlife which lay beneath the surface with our liquid carbon and our deliberate speed. I ended the day with a sunburn and a headache, for the force of the motor had gotten to even I, a player in the disruption game. But in the canoe, we moved slowly, 15 people brushing back only the top layer of water as we moved. the bugs in the air undisturbed by the slight peaking of paddles towards the sky, unfazed by the gentle sound of water splashing the sides, or the ripple of the mild current we created greeting nearby rock settlements and growths of water grass. At our gentlest poles, we made hardly a sound as we snuck through the cavern of trees, themselves slinking like veins across the sky above us, forming a tunnel in which only honeyed melodies of nature rang in our ears. That same canoe was carved from a fallen cedar tree in the backyard of the Pacific Northwest, dug out and smoothed with hot rocks and water, painted with hues drawn naturally from the land and blessed with each carving and stroke of paint. Christians pray prior to shoveling food in their mouth at the dinner table, but in indigenous culture there's no need to give thanks before taking a bite. The prayer has gone into each careful step of preparing food, from the morning before a hunt to the capture or picking of a berry, and on through the cycle. I leaned over the side of the black and blood-red canoe, gliding my fingers across the smolty water. I pushed, first bending the atoms out of the way, then breaking their formation tension to slide my fingers within the boundary. Water traveled up my shirt sleeve and cooled down the fire on my arm, and I welcomed it. Behind me, our skipper Tony reminded us that the canoe wanted each and every one of us to paddle together in harmony, to keep it happiest. With loss of connection comes loss of knowledge. Indigenous oral traditions rely on the knowledge of elders, those who have stood upon the higher points of the world and seen human bugs glide across water with intention, understood how our feet keep us afloat, how to teach generations through voice ways to operate upon the earth, about which corners of the universe you came from, how to move along the hanging trees and the bees. In modern society, we are expected to know things about a world we have no access to. With a few sharp taps on the screen of a bundle of glass and metal and wire, you can find what's considered a normal weight for a child, how much water a human needs to drink in a day, how long a baby is supposed to breastfeed for and when to cut it off, what sound a bird makes, how tall every mountain in the world is, and how deep every valley. You can see photos of anywhere, every man-made structure on Earth, every tree, every natural barrier, even solicits of the last uncontacted civilizations on Earth. By meeting nature at her home, out in the open world of light and color, where we belong, strings may begin to tie new connections, new beginnings. Mountains aren't measured in miles, creatures aren't categorized and civilized, and people aren't severed from each other by wires or words. When I see bees fluttering the pistils and cones of wildflowers, I think all the world lies before me. Each day pushes them to fly further apart, but I know one day, yet again, they'll come together so tightly they'll burst and become new beings. Around me now they buzz so tightly, in the legs of skippers, in the fins and minds of whales. They glide through all rivers of earth and all rivers I know nothing of. They hold up what I can't comprehend. I'm part of my body for such a long time, yet so little time at all. A part of the vortex. A part of water so much deeper.